Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. I'm very pleased to welcome back to our studio a returning guest that's here for, I believe, his third summer in a row. Kenneth Hamilton is here. Welcome back, Kenneth.
Thanks, Mike. Always very happy to be here and in Rhode Island.
It's nice to have you in our ocean state. And you might be able to tell, if you don't remember Kenneth from either last summer or the summer before, he has a slight accent. And he's not because he's from southern Rhode Island.
Slightly further apart. I'm actually from Glasgow in the west of Scotland, so also maritime, but just across the Atlantic.
Right. Kind of a different fishing village than we're used to.
Something like that. Glasgow and Rhode Island have a lot in common.
Yeah, so welcome back. It's great to see you. And we were talking before we went on air how nice it is that every time you seem to come, you have a new CD release. And so you brought that with you.
Yes, it's really just coincidence that my wife and I really enjoy coming to Rhode Island during the summer. And I release a CD one every year, roughly. And usually it just happens to be released just before we go to Rhode Island. And so it's always a pleasure to present it in your show, Mike.
Well, it's great to have it. We'll talk in a couple minutes about the first piece. It's going to maybe even be a world premiere of that piece. But we'll talk a little bit more about that after we catch up with your travels. Now, being from Scotland, and you appear around the world in different places, and Rhode Island is kind of a vacation spot for you versus another stop on the tour.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, last year I was at the University of Rhode Island Piano Festival, but this year we're here incognito again, just enjoying the lobster, enjoying the beaches and the scenery, and especially Truston Pond, which I love. I think it's really a delightful place, and just trying to relax a bit is what we're doing.
Excellent. And where have your travels taken you this past year since we've seen you last?
Well, mostly China, actually. I've been in China about three or four times, Singapore, other places in Southeast Asia, usual stuff in Europe or whatever. But China seems to be looming ever more large, both politically, I suppose, and also artistically, center of gravity is moving to some extent. Partly out of coincidence, because I adopt the policy, if they book you, then you go. And so I'm booked and therefore I go. But it's always very interesting. It's rather fascinating traveling around and seeing how people react to different types of music.
Right. And I should have mentioned at the top, I didn't, but you're a pianist. And or do you prefer a pianist?
I have no opinion on that at all, actually.
You play the piano.
I play the piano. That's fine.
There you go. And you've been doing that for most of your life.
Yes, for most of my life. And although I started quite late at the age of 10, which I now realize was just in time to speak like a native, so to speak. But I wasn't one of these people that started as a fetus in the womb, as some people seem to do. But the really interesting thing about playing Scottish music in China, to continue what we're saying, is that it sounds Chinese because of the pentatonic melodies, the melodies with the gap scales, which are also used in Chinese music. They often think it sounds like Chinese music.
Do they accept that better, you think, or is it just another appreciative of the fact that it is similarities?
Interesting question. I think they enjoy the similarities. They often remark, I mean, I didn't realize myself, but a number of people in the audience come up and say, you know, this sounds Chinese. And it speaks to them more, I think, as a result. It seems like a sort of, you know, foreign version of something familiar.
Sure, that's interesting. And this is an album, it says Volume 2, the new CD that's out. of Ronald Stevenson.
Yes, a few years ago, Volume 1 came out, and I remember coming on your show and talking about that. Ronald Stevenson is a Scottish composer, was my teacher. He died in 2015, but was one of the most distinguished 20th century Scottish composers. So this is the second volume of his piano music, which includes some Scots pieces, some pieces based on Scots folk themes, and some other world music. I mean, the first piece we're playing is actually based on themes from Kurt Weill's Threepenny Opera. So basically German music that was then later transplanted to America because Weill ended up being in America.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this might be the first recording of it.
Yes, it's certainly the first recording. This piece has never been recorded before. And in fact, it was never published. It was in the manuscript until quite recently. It's a fantastic piece, really very witty. It takes a lot of it's really an original piece based on Weill. It takes a lot of the themes, some of them very famous, like Mack the Knife. It starts with Mack the Knife, but then combined with one of the other tunes. So the whole piece consists of contrapuntal, shall we say, you know, combinations of various quite well-known tunes. Mm-hmm. And then it ends effectively with musical irony and sarcasm, and you think it's ended, and then there's a strangely dissonant chord, which is a bit like a sort of, you know, rather barbed joke right at the end.
All right, let's give that a listen and we'll be back.
Thank you.
a very interesting piece of music and a very interesting ending. Have to wait for that little piece at the end there. Now, while that was loading, we were talking about China, and we've had some other people on the show in the past that have spent time working in China, and you gave me a very interesting statistic. There are how many piano players in China?
It's unbelievable, but apparently there are 48 million piano players in China.
48 million piano players in China.
Indeed, it's just astonishing. And I always tell my piano students, you know, that even if only 1% of those 48 million piano players in China are any good, and probably more are any good, then that's an awful lot of competition for them. So they'd better start practicing now.
It's amazing. And just the amount of people and talent, you know, they have a different culture, they have a different thought, they have a different look at it than a lot of certainly America does. I'm not sure about Scotland, obviously, but they seem to attack things musically very differently than the average person.
Well, they're very hardworking, actually, mm-hmm. And you can always tell if you're in a Chinese conservatory or school of music that people are practicing. They're in the practice rooms practicing. And the piano has a place in, if you like, cultural life that's more like the place it had in late 19th century in Britain and America and Europe. I mean, it really has an important role. Mm-hmm. And also people value the piano and piano music. I mean, it's we concert pianists should enjoy this while it lasts, because everything changes everywhere, and so things will evolve and change. But it's a wonderful time for the piano in China, which is why we spend so much time there.
Well, that's great. All right, let's get back to some more beautiful music. Kenneth Hamilton's recording of Ronald Stevenson, and we have two pieces we're going to play before this first break. Tell us about these.
Yes, these are two very jolly, very great fun Scottish pieces, both very, very short. The first is actually based on a reel, a dance, which was actually the original tune was written in Ronald's house about 200 years ago in the village of West Linton, just outside Edinburgh. And then the tune is called The High Road to Linton. So it's basically a very rollicking dance. It's an awful lot of fun. Audiences love this piece. I've played it as an encore a lot. And then the second piece, Barra Flighting Toccata, and flighting was an old sort of medieval technique of a ritual exchange of insults in a poetic form. So this is a musical version of a ritual exchange of insults. You'll hear just the same tune, the same Scots tune, repeated in different registers, and then getting faster and faster until finally one of the two people win effectively, and the thing ends just with a bang.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Kenneth Hamilton. Thank you. Kenneth Hamilton is my special guest on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're listening to his beautiful music on a CD just released recently. It's called Kenneth Hamilton Plays Ronald Stevenson, Volume 2. And we're very fortunate to have Kenneth here and bringing us up to the date on his world travels and the music. And let's get right back to the music and tell us about this next piece.
Oh, yeah, this is a really charming set of variations that Ronald Stevenson wrote on an 18th century tune by the English composer Henry Purcell. And the tune itself, though, was called A New Scotch Tune. And it was new, of course, in the 18th century. It's not new now. But the really interesting thing is that Scottish music in those days in London in the 18th century was associated not with sort of pentatonic scales or whatever, you know, five note scales, but actually with what we would now call blue notes, you know, the Gershwin style or jazz style, flattened seventh. So this tune has a very prominent flattened seventh in the middle section, and this tickled Ronald, this idea, and so he wrote us a really charming short set of jazz variations on this 18th century tune in various jazz styles, you know, sort of rhythmic style or slow blues or whatever. So the new Scotch tune in the 18th century to us sounds like a modern jazz tune almost.
Well, there we go. Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
Once again, beautiful music provided by Kenneth Hamilton. And Kenneth, we were talking just a couple of minutes ago while that piece was playing about the fact that young people do have a disadvantage, because that was not an easy piece to play physically, you know, spread of your fingers, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the funny thing. I mean, it's a really charming piece, and it ought to be the sort of piece that a talented young person could play in many respects. But the problem is that some of the chords are just very, very wide indeed, yeah, very, very large stretches.
The space between your thumb and your little finger.
Indeed. Right. So you need a big hand. Mm. So it must be very frustrating to be able to play maybe, you know, about 90% of it, and then suddenly you just can't manage this.
Can't get there anymore. Well, it's interesting. It's something I never thought of. The other thing that people that are listening might appreciate is your opinion. You said you started when you were 10.
Yeah.
And I have a granddaughter who's just turned 5.
Yeah.
And every time she comes over to the house, she makes a beeline for our Steinway. And she is like, can't wait to get her fingers on it and pluck little notes out. And we've had this discussion, is 5 too young or...
No, not at all. I mean, there's some people who start at three, and 4. I mean, if she wants to do it, she should certainly do it. The research I've read, it's a bit like language research, that if you learn a language before the age of about 11 or 12, you're likely to speak it with a native accent. But if you learn it later than that, because the brain loses plasticity, then you might get good, but you will never quite sound like a native. Uh-huh. And it's the same with music, according to the research, that there's a certain native fluency that you are likely to acquire before the age of around 12.
Okay.
So it's like a language. So if your granddaughter is interested enough to go voluntarily to the Steinway rather than be forced to go to the Steinway, I'd send her to lessons if she wants to do that.
Yeah, no, she makes a beeline for it. That's her favorite thing, other than running around.
Well, like every other child.
Like every other 5-year-old. All right, let's get back to this next piece of music they have for us.
Yeah, this is very different. I mean, I suppose just maybe accidentally, we're going around the world here in our conversation, and also in the
musical
music
tour.
Indeed, a musical tour. And this actually is a Russian inspiration. This piece is called Recitative and Air, on DSCH, on 4 notes. And basically, the melody is a combination of all these 4 notes. The S in German is E flat, mm-hmm. and H is B natural. So you've basically got a tune that's going D, E flat, C, B natural. But that's the musical motto of the Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich, D for Dmitri and Shostakovich. And Ronald Stevenson knew Shostakovich, and Ronald wrote a massive Passacaglia on this theme, which lasts about an hour and 15 minutes, so we won't be playing it today. I'm not going to be playing it today. But this is a much shorter piece, a rather beautiful elegiac piece in the same theme. And it was intended as a tribute to Shostakovich in 1974, a birthday tribute. And the piece was written along with pieces by some other Russian composers. But Shostakovich died in between the piece being written and the publication of the volume. So the volume ended up being published as a memorial volume rather than a happy birthday volume.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, we'll give that a listen, and then we'll take another short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
We are here listening to beautiful piano music played by Kenneth Hamilton, as he is talking about, and we are listening to the new release of a CD, which is Ronald Stevenson is the subject, Volume 2. And Kenneth, people can purchase this CD if they'd like to, I hope.
Oh, yes, and on all sorts of the usual good venues, and Amazon, and it's on Spotify, and it's on iTunes, and all the rest. Yes, so it is distributed worldwide, I'm told, by the record company.
There you go. I know last year when you were here, it wasn't even out yet. It was that new, and this now has been out for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's so. A couple of weeks. Yeah, no, it's really quite now. And we were just talking, Mike, earlier on when we were when the music was playing, about how now on Spotify and various things you can find out who's listening to you where, and that right. You know, there may be 200 people listening to you in Mexico City, or yep. Or you know, 100 people in Alaska. So it's actually quite fun to be an artist these days.
I wonder if they have the same numbers in China. If you can find those numbers about China, because just imagine how many there are there.
Actually, I think you can. They have sort of Tudo and various things like that. So yes, I imagine instead of the 100 people in Alaska, there'll be 100,000 people right. in Guangzhou or something yeah. like that.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, it's beautiful music, and Kenneth is here talking about this CD and some of his travels and some other music. We have two more pieces we're going to try to squeeze into tonight's program before you leave us once again. Tell us this next one, what that's going to be about.
Yeah, the next two pieces are really transcriptions of, again, music by the 18th century English composer Henry Purcell. The previous one, however, was effectively an original piece, the Jazz Variations, based on a Purcell tune. This is a toccata that we think was by Purcell. Scholars are not actually sure. The best guess is Purcell. The other best guess is J.S. Bach. It might actually be by Bach. And it was actually published in the 19th century as if it was by Bach. But we think it might be Purcell. And Ronald Stevenson made this arrangement of it in the 1950s, really in the style of Busoni's arrangements of Bach. So it's in a very modern piano style, a very big piano style. So, but you can hear that it's basically an 18th century piece reworked and modernized. So you can hear, you know, three centuries all telescoped together in this piece. It's rather a lot of fun in several different sections, and ends with a sort of, you know, large organ-like sonority.
Ba-da-bum.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
Thank you.
Kenneth, we come to another close of a show where we are very appreciative of you stopping by, keeping us on your schedule, keeping us in touch with your wonderful world of music. And once again, your product can be purchased online. Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, I don't do Facebook, but the record company has a website page devoted to these recordings.
All right, so people, if you look up Kenneth Hamilton, you will find ways to purchase his CDs. How many CDs over the years? Roughly?
Oh, I release a CD every year. So I mean,
you're 16, so that means
obviously that's 16 CDs. But it's actually there have been some breaks, but at the moment I've actually recorded another two CDs that haven't been released yet. So my recording schedule is actually about two CDs ahead of the release. release schedule, and I'm editing at the moment. Just 2 days ago, I got some edits for a CD that will probably be released in about a year's time. So
you're supposed to be here on vacation.
I know. That's what you sound like my wife, Mike. Yeah. You're quite right. She's quite right. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to stop listening and start enjoying myself.
Well, thanks again for coming in and sharing your music with us and your experiences. And we have one more piece to listen to. Tell us what it's going to be.
Yeah, this is the last piece on the CD, which again is an arrangement of Purcell, but a very romantic one. And the original Purcell tune was called The Queen's Dolour, The Queen's Sadness, and it was subtitled A Farewell. So I thought it was quite suitable to end the CD and also to end your show tonight. And it's an elegiac, rather beautiful, mournful piece with that Ronald Stevenson added all sorts of little romantic chromatic notes in the middle part. So the outer notes are Purcell and the inner notes are Ronald. And it's just sort of rather haunting and beautiful. And I suppose sort of, you know, mournful but in a nostalgic way, and I think a perfect ending to, at least I hope, a perfect ending to the CD, and I hope the listeners enjoy it tonight too.
Thank you so much, Kenneth. We hope to see you again on your next tour through.
Yes, thank you. Always a pleasure, Mike.
All right, and the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.